So we're going to have our Bible reading now for this morning. It is quite a long one, and Mary is going to read it for us. So thank you, Mary.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 31, verses 1 to 30. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, "Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has given all this wealth from what belongs to our father." And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, "I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, 'The speckled ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, 'The streaked ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God had taken away my father's livestock and has given them to me. In breeding seasons, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flocks were streaked, speckled, and spotted. The angel of God said to me in a dream, 'Jacob,' I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave the land at once and go to your native land.' Then Rachel and Leah replied, 'Do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our fathers belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told us.' Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated at Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, crossed the Euphrates River, and headed for the hill country of Gilead. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in his dream at night and said to him, 'Be careful. Do not say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Jacob had pitched his tent in the hilly country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, 'What have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me? so I could say, send you away with joy and singing and the music to tambourines and harps. You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you, but last night the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's household, but why did you steal my gods? End of the reading.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, so we are working our way through the life of Jacob. The last time we were thinking about Jacob, you might remember, we were looking at this kind of baby competition that his two wives, Leah and Rachel, had, both trying to be the best wife for Jacob, to be the most loved by Jacob, seeking his affection. And I suppose just to give him a son, really. Well, they certainly did that. 11 sons born to Jacob through Leah and Rachel and two maidservants and one daughter. So, I mean, Jacob has served Laban, his uncle-in-law, for 14 years. He served 7 years for Rachel and was given Leah. And then he served another 7 years and finally got the love of his dreams, Rachel. So he served Laban for 14 years. We're not going to read what the end of chapter 30, but let me just try to explain what happens. And then we'll come to the reading that Mary read for us. So he served Laban for 14 years. Now he's thinking it's time to move. It's time to go back home. But Laban doesn't want him to go home. You see, ever since Jacob has been around, Laban's fortunes have been on the up. His herds and flocks and everything has increased. It's almost like Jacob's got the Midas touch. Everything he does turns to gold. And so he doesn't want Jacob to leave. In fact, he says to Jacob, name your price. Whatever you want, you know, it's yours. If only you'll stay. And Jacob says, well, I don't want anything. And then he kind of comes up with this idea of, why don't you give me the sheep and the goats, you know, all the unusual ones, the ones that you don't really want yourself anyway, you know, the streaked, the speckled, the spotted ones, all the ones that are a bit different, and I'll take those, I'll look after them, or my sons will look after them, and I'll come and look after the other ones. And Laban thinks this is a great idea, because it would only be a few percentage that Jacob has of the flocks and herds. But then something very strange happens. Jacob strips back some of the bark from some of the trees, and you get the white of the bark underneath of these strips of bark, and he puts them in the water troughs that the sheep and the goats come to drink from. And lo and behold, as they do that, the good sheep become, when they mate in the mating season, become either streaked, spotted, or speckled. And so over a period of 6 years, Jacob's flocks and herds begin to increase because there was more and more of the streaked, spotted, and speckled sheep and goats, and less of the other ones that belong to Laban. So over a period of 6 years, Jacob's wealth increases and Laban's decreases. And now we come to the verses that Mary read for us. Now Jacob, having served Laban for 20 years, decides it's time to go home. And there are a few reasons why he thinks it's time to go home. One is there's been a change of atmosphere in the house, shall we say. Laban is not the happy-go-lucky uncle that he used to be. And perhaps we couldn't blame him. He's lost most of his wealth to Jacob. And Jacob overhears Laban's sons talking about Jacob as if he stole their father's wealth. So Jacob's thinking, maybe it's really time I got out of here. On top of that, God has told Jacob it's time to leave. 6 years ago, it was Jacob's idea. But now God is saying, I want you to return home, and I'll be with you, I'll protect you. So that's reason number two. The third reason is he discusses it with his two wives. So he goes out to the fields, and he invites Leah and Rachel to come and join him. And he basically says, you know, I've been loyal, I've been faithful to your father. Now, he's a bit of a jerk, really. Now, he's treating me badly, he's treating me harshly. In fact, when given a fresh bit of information, I don't know if you picked that up, when it says that actually he's been changing my wages 10 times. You know, he's not a good boss, he doesn't treat me very well. And lo and behold, Rachel and Leah agree. You know, before this, they've been at loggerheads with each other. You know, there's been nothing but animosity between them up until this point. But suddenly, it's all very harmonious. And they all decide it's right to leave and to go home. Or at least to go back to Jacob's homeland. How does Laban respond to this? Well, Laban is completely over the moon. He just couldn't be happier. You know, he comes out a few days later, catches up with Jacob and his relatives and his daughters, you know, and it's high fives all round. You know, I wish you all the best. Sadly, no. In fact, it is the very opposite. If we turn to chapter 31, if you've got your Bible open, we actually have his response. So verse 26. Then Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You've deceived me and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so that I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. Now I have power to harm you, but last night, the God of your father said to me, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" I think I would sum that up as a load of baloney. Laban is coming across as being completely heartbroken. You know, if only he had told me, we would have given you a huge farewell. You know, we would have been singing and dancing and music and everyone gathered together to see you off with our blessing. Really? Not in your life. And it comes across as this loving father and grandfather. You know, it's all about the family. And yet, we're told by Leah and Rachel that actually they were sold by their father. That's his response. He's angry. And as I say, it's all a bit of a cover-up. What his real response is, the very last thing he says, why have you stolen my household gods? That's what's really getting at him. That's what's really eating away at him. Now, we don't know much about those household gods or idols. Presumably, they were of some value. Presumably, they were quite small because they could be hidden in the camel sack. But they must have been hugely significant. Not only has Rachel stolen them, which again highlights their significance, but this is what really matters to Laban. So I can only presume they were worth something. See, for Laban, it's all about possessions, it's all about money, it's all about stuff. Whether it's sheep or goats or donkeys or camels or household idols, that's what really matters to Laban. And he's blinded to the fact that here is Jacob, who has been successful, whom God has blessed. And he should be high-fiving him. He should be congratulating him. He should be throwing a party and sending him off with his blessing, but he can't do it. I wonder how good we are at rejoicing with those who rejoice. How good are we at celebrating with those who celebrate? Or is there part of Laban in each of us? Sometimes we can say the right words, can't we? Oh, well, that's great, I'm so pleased for you. And yet maybe down below there's another little voice saying, I'm not really. Maybe I even hope things might not work out as you plan or hope. Do we rejoice with those who rejoice? Laban couldn't bring himself to do that. Now, what about Jacob? We're told that he served Laban faithfully, worked hard, was a good employee. He's been in exile for 20 years away from home. And God has blessed him in abundance. Remember, he left with nothing. All he had was the promise of God. Remember when he met God at Bethel, just a short way into his journey? And God gave him that promise, I will be with you, I will bless you, and I will bring you back. And he left with nothing but a promise from God. His hands were empty. And here he is returning with livestock, with cattle, with sheep, with donkeys, with camels, this huge family of 12 children, 4 wives, maidservants, men servants. He's got it all, hasn't he? Well, see, God blesses the righteous, doesn't he? And Jacob was a man, a righteous man, walked humbly before the Lord. man of honesty and integrity. Some of you are not so sure about that. A man after God's own heart. You know, when God looked down from heaven and saw Jacob, just burst into a big smile. There's my boy, you know, Jacob. You can always rely on Jacob. Well, he was very righteous, apart from the lying and the deception. You know, and all the shenanigans that he got up to. Apart from that, yeah, he was a good, honest, godly man. Did he deserve all that God gave him? No. God has a wonderful habit of blessing those who don't deserve. Those whose hands are empty and have nothing. Do you remember when Jacob's grandfather Abraham and Sarah went down to Egypt because there was a famine? What did they leave with? An abundance. Men servants, maid servants, sheep, goats, the lot. Remember when Israel, the Israelites were in Egypt and they were about to be, God was about to deliver them. What did they leave with? They were laden down, weren't they, with the wealth of Egypt. God loves to bless those who don't deserve it and who can never earn it. That's the story of Jacob all over. You know, he was a deceiver from before he was born. You know, he was certainly a match for Laban and vice versa. You know, they were kings of deception. And yet here is God pouring out untold blessing. You know, his cup truly overflows. Now, isn't that our story? Isn't that your story? Certainly my story. You know, there was a time when we were God's enemy. And now, through Jesus, we become his friends. There was a time when we were far away from him. And yet we've been brought near. That's God's grace, isn't it? And that's what he did for Jacob. He didn't deserve it. And yet God filled his life with so many good things, as he does for us. You know, we have peace in our hearts and our troubled world. We have forgiveness of our sin. We have the hope, the certain hope of eternal life. You know, we know where we're going and who we're going to. Without Jesus, we have none of that. But God just lavishes his goodness into our lives, as he did for Jacob. Undeserved, unmerited, and yet receiving an abundance. Let's pray together. God of grace, Lord, how we marvel at the way you work in our lives, our broken, messed up lives. Thank you, Lord, that nothing at all can ever stop you from loving us. Lord, your love is immeasurable. Lord, thank you that you poured good things into our lives. undeserved as they are. So we bless you, God of grace. Father, may we extend that same grace to one another and to those that will come across our path this week. And Lord, help us to rejoice with those who rejoice, to truly rejoice in the goodness we see you doing in the lives of others, which is also an act of your grace. So Lord, thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, we see so much of Jacob and Laban in our own lives. And yet, like Jacob, you go with us. And you promise to bless us. And one day you will lead us home. And so we offer ourselves to you again, Lord. Go with us, we pray. Receive our praise and worship that we've offered to you this morning. For we ask our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.